Hi, and welcome to the Chat CCG podcast. I am Paula Sabaga, financial advisor, and I'm joined with my teammates, Zach Brown, senior wealth strategy associate, and Matt Anderson, participant in the SkillBridge program. And we are located in Columbia, South Carolina. We can be reached at 803-873-9850. Good afternoon, Zach and Matt. How are you today?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Yeah, of course. Matt, so we'll just bust right into it. Obviously, you and I have known each other a long time, and was really excited that we were able to put this together and get you some experience with the SkillBridge program. Obviously, you're transitioning out of the Marine Corps back into civilian life, and excited to be able to be a part of that process and maybe get you some experience in the wealth management industry and see if this is an area that you might want to build a career out of. So let's start with a little bit about your military background. Tell the folks about kind of your service in the Marine Corps, any specifics about your role, any deployments that you had, or any defining moments that you want to discuss.
Yeah, sure. We'll dive right into it. So I stepped on the Yellow Footprints April 1st of 2019. Paris Island, South Carolina, as an enlisted Marine. 13 weeks through boot camp, graduated on June 28th, took a little 10-day leave, then went to combat school after that, was air traffic control school. That was my MOS that was graciously assigned to me by the Marine Corps without my knowledge until I graduated boot camp. Yeah, that's how they do it sometimes. They just give you an open-ended code, and then you walk off the parade deck, and they're like, congratulations, here's your new MOS.
A little bit of a voluntold situation.
Yeah, a little bit of voluntold situation. So after that, I went to Pensacola, Florida. Graduated from there on December 7th, Pearl Harbor, actually December 6th. It was the day that actually Pensacola had that shooting there. So while we were walking to my graduation, a terrorist shot up one of the, it was like a flight training center. We got locked down all day, like FBI was in there, and crazy enough, it was right next to where my barracks were. So while we were walking to class, that all unfolded. We had no idea what was going on until I think one of us had a cell phone and was able to look at the news. But after that, I went to my primary duty station, reported into Cherry Point, North Carolina. That is where the career actually took off. Little air traffic control joke there. I went through the tower. There's two options you can do in air traffic control. You can go down to the radar room where you're looking at a scope, kind of like playing a video game, but way more high stress. Or you can go to the tower and you use your eyes instead of a scope. So everything that you're doing, you're counting miles, you're controlling the rate of traffic, arrivals, departures, sequencing, spacing is the bread and butter of what that job is. Went through the full tower, got flight data, ground control, local control, which ground control is pretty self-explanatory. Local control is where you're controlling the aircraft in the air. And then after that, achieved a tower supervisor qualification. And then the Marine Corps said, hey, congratulations. Thank you. You are going to go to the field now and join the Marine Corps Mobile Team, or MMT, as we call it, where anywhere in the world within 24 hours, we can set up a expeditionary airfield and self-sustain for 72 hours. After 72 hours, we need new batteries, water, and food, or be relieved. So that was really cool. And along with that type of training, I did some really cool experiences where we had the first expeditionary use of the new F-35. So the first time it was able to land on the field on AM2 matting. It doesn't sound very cool, but it's a pretty big deal that we can flex our capabilities to the world.
Sure.
And then, like, I got to go to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and go through avalanche survival and mountain weather forecasting school. That was amazing. It was 10 days in Jackson Hole on the side of a mountain, making snowpacks, doing a whole bunch of survival training, forecasting training.
You might need that in Columbia.
Yeah, I do need that in Columbia. It snows a lot here. It's, 114 outside? So that was cool. And then I get back from that. I'm just kind of like at the tower hanging out. And my master sergeant pulls me in the office and he's like, hey, I got an opportunity for you. And I was like, that's pretty cool. What is it? He's like, well, you got to say yes or no first. And I was like, what? And he was like, just trust me. So I was like, all right, what are the details? He sent me a PowerPoint. The PowerPoint basically stated, hey, in Hawaii, they're starting up this new unit called the 3rd MLR. Within the 3rd MLR is the 3rd Littoral Anti-Air Battalion. Within that, there's a thing called a FARP battery, and a FARP is another acronym because there's 1,000 acronyms. A FARP is a Forward Arming and Refueling Point. And the whole premise of it was that we would go through the first island chain, bounce around the Pacific, and set up FARPs for helicopters to bring in the Marine Expeditionary Units, to bring in the 3rd MLR to do that. That was like the broad strokes of what I was told. He was like, do you want to go? And I was like, yeah, I think that'd be awesome. Let me call my girlfriend at the time. And she was on board, and I was like, all right, cool. Our marriage plans are going to get fast forwarded. As you're aware, you were there. You watched the whole thing unfold. So we got engaged, got married, moved to Hawaii, get to Hawaii. And I think like I checked in on a Saturday, and that Monday, the official email came out saying that the program that I came to Hawaii to do got scrubbed. And so now I'm jobless. Yeah, I was like, wow, great, thanks.
Jobless in Hawaii?
Yeah, I was literally homeless in Hawaii because they don't have a problem with that. So I didn't have anything to do. So I found my way over to the tower there and went through that tower in Kay Bay, Kaneohe Bay, Hawaii, got a tower supervisor call. But I bounced to the air station from the lab and back multiple times. Over there, we went to the Philippines twice. And that was a majority of like our overseas. I wouldn't call them deployments because we didn't deploy. We deploy, but it's not like a deployment. You're just kind of there. And then I did this other really cool program called Joint Pacific Multi-Readiness Conference, or JPMRC. And there's another fun acronym. But we teamed up with the Army and did some expeditionary notional battles on like North Shore, which was really cool. You're like in paradise, but you're playing Marine, playing soldier. It was very, very cool. Very good experience. Lots of new experiences with that. That was probably one of my most defining moments was JPMRC with the Army. Those guys were just awesome.
Yeah, that sounds like a whirlwind experience that you had for several years there.
Yeah, it was definitely like a run and gun, always on the go, not sitting in one place for too long. But it took its toll, and I was like, all right, I want to get out, start a family, not move around at the Marine Corps' will. I love the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps is going to be a very special, it's a very special thing in my heart, right? But it just doesn't match with the long-term goals that I have.
Sure.
Like job-wise, and my body can only take so much, right?
Sure.
Air traffic control is not that hard on the body, but like the field stuff can take its toll, and just being a Marine in general takes its toll. So I made the decision to transition out of the Marine Corps, went to a transition readiness class, and they had a class about skill bridge. I was like, oh, I wonder what skill bridge is. And I had this website, and I start looking at it. I think you and I were texting at the time, because the way the classroom is, it's just like 60 computers and one person in the front talking. So it's pretty lax. So I'm over there like texting you, and I was like, hey, there's this thing called skill bridge. You're like, oh, what programs does it have? I was like, I don't know. Finance seems kind of cool because you always hear about people in finance having a good work-life balance. I was like, okay. Start looking at it and was texting you. And you were like, well, what companies do they have? I listed off a couple. And I was like, there's UBS. Have you ever heard of that? And he was like, yep, that's actually literally where I work. I was like, no shot, dude. So that's when the ball started rolling. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. So perfect segue. We'll get into kind of the Skill Bridge program and the transition experience. Obviously, you touched a little bit about kind of what the catalyst was for you wanting to participate in the Skill Bridge program, realizing that you wanted to transition out of the Marine Corps, out of the service, and come back to civilian life for the long run. So talk to me a little bit about the Skill Bridge application process. How did all that work, specifically with UBS, but also just, more broadly speaking, with the Department of Defense and with the Marine Corps? Any challenges or surprises that you encountered as you were going through that process, whether on the UBS side or the Marine Corps side of the process?
Yeah. So with the UBS side, you guys were great, and you were very transparent and streamlined through the whole process. Like getting the necessary paperwork in due time was a breeze. The Marine Corps, as it does, it takes a little bit more steps to get through. The way you start the process is you go onto the SkillBridge website. Each base has their own Marine Corps Community Service website that has a link to it. You download the PDF, which unfortunately is not fillable, but you make do and you just kind of like copy paste or hand jam it and then push it through. You fill out the packet and then you have to submit it for review, for grammar and for the way it's set up, the formatting. So you submit that, and then that's going to take at least 5 business days. And then you get it back, and it's covered in red pen, and then you have to go redo it. And then inevitably, you're going to submit it again. It's going to go to another person who wants it done a different way. And then they're going to send it back full of red pen. Finally, you get it kind of close to where it needs to be. It gets pushed through. And then you have to go through a bunch of different hurdles to get it approved by the chain of command, and that takes time. One of the hurdles I faced was that my CO for the lab was deployed in the Philippines for like 6 months or something like that. So we're talking about, you know, 2 different time zones, almost like halfway across the world, trying to get all this done. And I guess all things considered, it was done in a timely manner, but it came down to the wire at the end. The biggest obstacle definitely was communicating with his office in the Philippines.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely seemed, and you kind of alluded to this earlier, but you and I were in communication throughout the process, trying to get it pushed through, and definitely a different timeline that UBS seemed to be on as compared to the Marine Corps. Something that maybe we can work on going forward in the future for future SkillBridge candidates.
Yeah, I definitely think that the timing could be worked out. I mean, it's not that you guys did anything incorrectly. It's actually you guys were too efficient and you were outpacing the Marine Corps. You're like, oh yeah, we'll get you taken care of. And like, you could do everything in under a month. The Marine Corps is a large machine with a lot of little cogs in it. And I'm just a tiny little cog in it. So they're not going to pay the most attention to what you need. Like, they're going to help you. The Marines always take care of each other, but it's going to take extra time to get all that paperwork done, get it organized, and then be able to ship it back to you guys.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Thankfully, it all worked out. You're here now. You're currently kind of right about the halfway point of your 4-month SkillBridge role with UBS about. And our team. So talk about any roles that you have filled so far in the program, any projects that you've been assigned. What does your day-to-day look like?
Yeah, so the day-to-day, usually get in around like 8-ish. My biggest job here is learning. And I know that sounds pretty obscure, but it's getting prepared for the series essentials exam, right? The SIA, yeah.
Yep.
And the Series 7 and the Series 6-6. So diving into all the literature for the studying, the educational like online programs that UBS has provided, it's been great. Online tests, they have like flashcards all set up through the program that was provided. So that's been a majority of my time. The rest of it is any other sort of project around the office, right? Manual data entry, looking at all these different products that the financial advisors are presenting to clients, like prospect clients, right? And then they want to look at cumulative data. They will come to, you know, a SkillBridge intern, another intern. We'll sit down, process all that data, put it on an Excel spreadsheet, make it a little bit more, you know, palatable to the eyes, and then forward it back up to them. They use that data and do what they do. I can't speak to what they do because I don't really know, but I'm trying to learn.
And what you were describing about your application process, that seems a lot like what we do with clients too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's timing.
For sure.
It's, you're on a different time than maybe the client is, and there's approvals and kind of going back and forth to everyone agreeing on it. So it actually reminded me of like what we do too, how your process went. So.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but that's a really good point.
Because it's timing. Yeah. Like, we might have timing, you know, on our own, but the client's ready to do things on their time. So we're kind of at their mercy, and then we're all trying to agree and submit things back and forth.
Yeah.
And that red pen is not really a red pen. It's more of emails and here's my idea. What's your idea?
yeah, for sure.
So that's pretty cool. It's a lot of the same stuff you went through.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what I always said to everyone who was, you know, that I would talk to along the way is like, anything is literally possible with coordination. You can get any goal accomplished by just coordinating and verbally speaking face to face.
Yeah.
Or via phone call, right? Like an email can only do so much. I know there's a joke. Sure. That's like, this meeting could have been in an email, but like you lose so much value out of just sending emails. But like communicating directly with you guys and directly with Linda Abbott up in Charlotte, like it was crucial to get it done.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have gotten done without that streamlined communication on your end to be able to have that be so transparent on the Marine Corps end.
Yeah. So obviously you mentioned a big part of your role so far has been just the educational component.
Yep.
Obviously
hitting the books.
Yeah. Working in this industry, you know, there's different levels of licensing and registration that you can get. And hopefully you can get kind of a head start on that as you're looking to start your career in the wealth management industry.
Sure.
Any particular skills or training that have stood out as kind of immediately relevant, specifically to your transition from the military to a more corporate environment? Obviously, we've already touched on a few of the key differences between those two types of environments, but have there been any skills or training that have stuck out to you as helpful as you've started to make this transition back to a civilian lifestyle?
Yeah, like skills that I learned in the Marine Corps, that transition in the...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. So air traffic control is stressful. So the ability to handle stress and then make timely decisions in a very fast-paced environment, I think is going to be a very big transferable skill into the finance world. Because, I mean, the markets are always moving. It's like a living thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be able to make like a game-time decision, game-time advising. And then another one, like Marines, we are very, very, very particular about attention to detail. So organizing files for clients, manually interpreting that data. Like I'm sitting there, I'm triple checking things because I don't want to be the one that drops the ball or does something incorrectly. So making sure that, you know, in the Marine Corps, our ribbon rack is an eighth of an inch above our breast pocket, right? It's not for any particular reason just to have it at a precise area to show attention to detail. The commandant put it like, if he asks you to set your gun on a 278 azimuth, he doesn't know, he doesn't mean a 279, doesn't mean a 277, he means a 278. Attention to detail is crucial in any job throughout the military, the Marine Corps, or in the civilian world. Keeping things from slipping through the cracks ultimately just keeps the ball rolling, keeps that cog going, right? Communication skills and the ability to be adaptable and moldable. I mean, walking the Marine Corps on April 1st on the Yellow Footprints, I was a clean slate. I was literally probably a little bit soft, right? moldable clay that they could transform into anything they needed. But I took that ability to learn. I've kind of kept it. No matter where I go, even if it's a new tower, it's going to be a little stressful because I think I know some things that other people don't know. They know some stuff that I don't know, but you got to be moldable. Being able to go into a new role and being able to soak up all that knowledge, I think, is a phenomenal skill that can be transferred over from the military into the civilian world. And then the ability to learn, I said that before, and loyalty is another big one.
Sure.
I feel that if you show somebody loyalty, they're more likely to show loyalty to you. And you know, you can go so deep down that rabbit hole about loyalty.
Yeah.
But those are some of the main... probably some of the main skills. A lot of the other ones, like the ability to learn, keeping up with the pace of studying for the SIE, keeping a timeline, being able to crunch that information in and process it and learning how to study well. I learned that in the air traffic control school better than I did in college, honestly.
And one thing I've noticed, you're always here at 8 o'clock, like you mentioned. And the first time I saw you, I was like, are we being audited? Like, who's here at 8 o'clock in the morning in a suit?
You said I look like a wholesaler when I first walked in. I was wearing a tie and like a suit with a pocket.
But I was very impressed. That's what that was. But yeah, you don't normally see that with just an intern.
For sure.
So
Yeah, I definitely think the adaptability and you know, being flexible and then the other skills that you mentioned, those are all excellent skills that pertain to a lot of jobs in the civilian world, but especially a job like wealth management where we're mm-hmm. serving clients. We have to be adaptable to, Paula, as you mentioned, their needs and their desires. And the market obviously is an ever-changing entity of its own. So definitely yeah. think those are pertinent. A lot is made about, you know, the difference in culture between yeah. civilian world and military world.
It's a little different.
How has that experience gone for you? You know, thinking about maybe other military personnel that might be interested in the future in doing something like a skill bridge transition. What has that difference been like from a culture perspective to you? And are there any tips or tricks that you might be willing to offer to future military personnel that are going through that transition as well?
Yeah, the major difference, it's a culture shock. It's definitely a culture shock going from the Marine Corps where everything is very crude and rigid, right? And then you walk into a civilian job and everyone is like, I walked in, everyone was so nice. I was like, whoa. Everyone's just so happy to be here. And like, no one's just down in the dumps and just like getting the daily grind on, right?
Yeah.
Everyone was so positive. And if you needed something, I didn't feel like I was being a burden asking.
Sure.
Sometimes in the Marine Corps, like you ask somebody something and they're kind of like, oh, get over here. Let's figure it out real quick. And then you get into kind of like you could dig yourself in a hole.
Yeah.
By helping all these people. But everyone was just kind of like, everything's so streamlined. Like I can't come up with another word than streamline here. Is that if there's a job and I need like a tool to complete the job, you guys, here's the tool. And I'm able to take it and hopefully run with it and figure it out with minimal questions. That's my goal, is to ask minimal questions, but still get the big picture and the scope of what needs to be done.
Sure.
And then using that adaptability, like improvise, adapt, overcome, and transfer that over into the environment, the civilian world. But I think one of the main differences, yeah, is everyone seems so relaxed. And I don't know if that's coming from like air traffic control world or just a world where everything is pretty transparent.
Yeah.
And then coming into that transparency from like kind of always being in a fog, it's a hurry up and wait in the Marine Corps. You're just kind of told where to be and how to do, but you don't really think for yourself a whole lot. Now, a blessing about being in air traffic control is you have the ability to do that. Like you can't just be told what to do in the tower. You have to be able to have that critical thinking skills, problem solving skills. But it's just so stressful. But here, everyone just seems so calm, cool, and collect all the time that it's just so refreshing. And some advice for anyone that would be wanting to look into a skill bridge is find a program that would match the skills that you personally learned in your MOS, military occupational specialty. So like if you're a mortarman, right, don't just be like, oh, I'm going to go apply for this job and my skill is I can, you know, hang fire X amount of rounds in X amount of seconds, right? That's a cool skill to have as a mortarman, but not as a person going into the workforce, right? You can use your ability to have attention to detail because, right, we talked about the azimuth earlier. You have to make sure your azimuth is in the right direction. So you got a great attention to detail. Your communication skills are probably solid because you got to communicate with the forward air observer,
yeah,
right, or the JTAC, whoever's up there. It's just you have to really sit down, look at yourself, figure out what skills you have, talk to your friends, talk to your families, and talk to your mentor. The Marine Corps is big about having mentors and mentee programs mm-hmm. and coaching and stuff like that. So I recommend sit down with the mentor. Don't do it alone. Don't do it just to get out of the Marine Corps early.
Sure.
Right? It's not free leave. It's to set you up for the civilian world. And not a lot of MOSs have transferable skills into the civilian world. Now, air traffic control obviously is a phenomenal transferable skill to come out. You can make six figures right off the bat. But for me, it wasn't worth it, right? My mental health, I guess, I really hate saying that type of excuse, but like, I just get so stressed. Like I was having like heart palpitations. I had to go to the doctor and the doctor was like, no, you're fine. You're young. Yeah, the doctor was crazy. Navy medicine, man. But yeah, it's just the work-life balance was in the civilian world seems to be, I can't speak. I haven't been in the civilian world ATC, but it just doesn't fit what I'm looking for.
Right.
Long hours, you could be working weekends. You could be working like 10 hour days with breaks in between. It's just, it's different.
Yeah.
It's different. And I just didn't want to transfer into that.
A lot of what military service members might struggle with coming into a civilian environment, role, what have you, is knowing their place in the military, knowing their specialties, yeah. knowing their skills. They're expected to be, you know, really buttoned up mm-hmm. you know, to the point of maybe perfection. And they're transitioning into a world that they don't have a ton of experience with, perhaps. Yeah. Maybe they have never lived as an adult in the civilian world. Maybe it's been a long time.
That's very true.
And, mm-hmm. you know, I can't speak for other firms and other, you know, teams maybe that have a skill bridge program, but at least from our team's perspective and my personal perspective is we genuinely are looking to help. We genuinely are looking to educate and assist with that transition. And so I've found myself, not just with you, but with yeah. even other general interns is look, ask the questions, ask for help. You know, this is, you get as much out of this as you put into it. And from my perspective, I would much rather somebody come to me and say, hey, I have a genuine question about this. I want to learn about this. Can you help me?
Yeah.
And I'm happy to do that. Paul, I know you've yeah. mentioned that as well.
Well, like today with the rate cuts, one intern came and was asking me like, what's the importance or the significance yeah. of that? So we kind of had a chat about that. And for that's sure. something that, you know, I take for granted that everyone knows what those things mean, yeah. but they don't. So it was, yeah, I'm glad yeah. he asked the question because I don't think I would have just explained it.
Kind of like mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. yeah. And I mean, I guess for other military personnel making that transition, it sounds like from your perspective, it would be don't just expect that you are, don't think that you're going to be expected to know everything about the environment yeah. that you're transitioning yeah. into. Ask the questions, use that program to try to really gain an understanding of the role that you're looking to fill long-term career-wise in the civilian world. Let's talk about outcomes and yeah. and reflections from the program. Sure. So you talked a little bit about, obviously, the studying for the licensing exams, the SIE and Series 7. That's obviously a skill that hopefully you will have acquired by the end of your time with UBS as a SkillBridge candidate. Are there any other skills, whether technical or professional or even interpersonal, that you've acquired so far during your time with our team that might benefit you long term?
Yeah, so like honing in on those team skills, right? So that having that communication in the Marine Corps is a lot different than communication in the civilian world, right? It's a lot more, I'm going to say, subdued in the civilian world. It's a lot more PC. Yeah. So trying to get out of that, that has been my habit for the last 6 years is, in my opinion, healthy.
Yeah.
And it's bringing me back to where I was before I joined the Marine Corps, because I have luckily already experienced what it is being an adult in the real world and not having Uncle Sam telling me what to do all the time, mm-hmm. right? A lot of these young kids, they join right out of high school and they don't know anything about the world except for what the Marine Corps has shown them. Mm-hmm. And that gives them a false sense of security when they are like, oh, it's been my 4 years and I didn't get what I thought I was going to get from the Marine Corps, so I want to leave, right? And then they have no plan. And then the one skill that every service member gets is that the military in some capacity will teach you how to be professionally homeless. It gives you the skills that you can use to survive on the streets, but not everyone is going to get a skill to get out of the military. So the military is going to take a lot from you, right? They're going to take your free time. In some cases, they take your money. They take your youth in a sense, because you're not doing the normal thing that college kids do for these young guys
right.
and girls, right? They're going out across the whole world, put in situations where most people aren't going to be put into. And so they miss out on a lot of those real world experiences in the civilian life, right? Mm-hmm. So they get a false sense of security. I think I'm going down on a tangent though, but with the skills that I've acquired here, right?
Yeah.
Bringing it back in, honing in on those team skills, being able to communicate appropriately and effectively as a civilian again is crucial. And everyone has been very receptive and understanding, right? So when, for example, if we're talking about finances, I may use the wrong term. Like if you and I are discussing some sort of product or something, right? I'm going to use the wrong term. I am.
Right.
But you are aware that I have no clue what I'm talking about. And you're just like, oh, hold on. I think you said the wrong thing. And then we go back, we review it.
It's a new set of acronyms.
Yeah,
it's a new set of acronyms. And I get to replace all the old ones with the new ones, which is easy because I've been living on acronyms for 6 years. Another interesting thing was like actual Excel skills.
Yeah.
So like watching you, you don't even put your hand on the mouse. You're just going crazy with a keyboard and making the Excel do Excel things, right? I'm over here on Google, like, how do I add up these cells?
Did you learn the VLOOKUP yet?
I don't think I have. I'm going to write that one down. VLOOKUP.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to that one okay. yet.
We haven't gotten to that way. We're working on it. And then using this experience to build a solid foundation in wealth management, being able to ask the questions, like I'm probably in your office multiple times an hour every day.
Yeah.
With that book in my hand going, what the heck is this? How do bonds do this? Why does this, the interest rate goes up, the prices go down and vice versa, right? And I just, hard for my head to wrap around that stuff. So yeah, just kind of like bringing me back into the world from being in another world is probably like the best thing that's going on right now.
Yeah. And to your point about communication, I mean, you and I were talking recently about how, we operate as a team, just like the Marine Corps operates as a team. Now, obviously, we're doing very different things.
Yeah.
However, we still have a responsibility to accomplish what it is that we set out to accomplish, particularly for our clients.
For the clients, right?
If one person starts a task and then is out for some reason or can't complete that task for whatever reason, any other team member can reference our CRM database and look at the notes and pick up on that task. And communication to that end is key to make sure that nothing is slipping through the cracks as it pertains to client service and making sure that we're following through on what we tell clients we're going to do for them. So I know you mentioned that recently as something that you've been really impressed with and something that maybe your communication skills in the Marine Corps have assisted with.
Definitely.
That transition.
The like in air traffic control, right? You're controlling airplanes in the air. For some reason, you have to get off position. You have to give a brief.
Mm-hmm.
And the brief has to be detailed enough for the controller relieving you to be able to just step in, take over, and it be, you know, seamless, like a turnkey brief. And it's, you guys have it so honed that it is like a well-oiled machine. Like someone just be like, oh, I'm not coming in today. Like, oh, okay, cool, we got it. Like the two in the back, the dynamic duo, Amy and Rachel are just back there just going at it, like just going crazy on the keyboard and the email and like just, they know they have such a wealth of knowledge that it's almost intimidating to sit down and talk to them.
Yeah, those two are pretty impressive.
They run the show.
Yeah. I was like, so how do you do this? And the next thing I know, I blink and she's gone through like 8 different pages on the on the client portal. And I'm like, whoa, hold on, rewind. I got to get a notepad.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, so it sounds like you've had a pretty positive experience so far. And thankfully, we still have another 2 months with you here, but based on the experience that you've had with our team so far and with UBS, is a career in wealth management, particularly with UBS, something that you'd be interested in pursuing long term? And if so, you know, kind of what specifically about your experience so far has led you to want to continue with the firm, and what role would you see yourself filling with UBS if you were to continue with the firm after concluding the SkillBridge program?
Man, that is a really good question. And I have so many answers, so many positive answers that we could sit here for a while. This place makes me feel like me again, like normal Matt that you knew before the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps gave me a lot of good tools, but it was kind of turning me into someone that I wasn't particularly happy with. Then I got here and everyone was like super nice and I felt like I belonged on like day one. Like I walked in and immediately started getting like picked on by Paula. It was awesome. she was like, you look like a wholesaler. I'm like, is that a compliment? Like what? Is it a good thing? Bad thing? I was like, Zach, do I take my tie off? You're like, take your tie off. I kept my tie on all day though because I like my tie. But no, this has been a great team to be a part of. And the company itself seems like they truly care about the customer service. And I'm big on customer service because what is air traffic control besides customer service, right? You have a plane flying in the air full of your customers.
Yep.
Right. And you're providing them service. So I'm thinking of it in air traffic control terms that it's just getting them to the ground, right? They're the pilot and they have the finances, but we're the controllers that are going to take care of their wealth,
right?
And give them the direction. Maybe when they can't see out the cockpit window because the markets are going bad, right? Or the markets are really good and you got to provide some other advice to them that's going to keep them, you know, level headed, not just start going crazy and taking money out and, you know, doing crazy stuff. No, I really enjoy this company. I'd love to continue after SkillBridge. I've been talking with Jason Price up in New Jersey. He's the head of Veterans Affairs. I believe you had an interview with him.
Yeah, he's on a podcast.
Yeah, he's on a podcast. And he asked what my overall goal was, and I said my wife and I want to end up on the coast and like Wilmington. And he was like, oh, I think there's an office down there. And lo and behold,
there is.
Yeah, I looked on Gunny Google, and sure enough, there was. There was a UBS office in Wrightsville Beach, and so he said he would start reaching out. He might reach out to you, Zach, and then Katie, the manager here, and see if they have any openings and availability. But I would like to stay in the wealth management. I think it's fascinating. There's so much knowledge here that I had no clue was even a thing. It's hard to wrap my head around. Like, there's so much stuff. Like, retaining it is difficult,
yeah,
but is manageable.
Yeah.
Learning how like the markets work. And I keep telling you every day, I like bonds. I don't know why I like bonds. They just make sense to me. But like what an equity security is and like all this other, and like how some words have multiple words that mean the same thing, but they're used in different contexts.
Like AI.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we won't go down the AI path. That's right. Scary. But, yeah, no, I love it. I think it's fascinating. I think it's a new good challenge, but I think it's one of those challenges that I don't feel like I'll plateau.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like it's an ever-changing environment.
Right. Yeah. And I think you can continue learning here and never feel like you've learned it all.
Yeah,
for sure. Exactly. And there's so many things changing.
Yeah. I mean, there are still things that I learn on a daily basis here and in the wealth management industry that the great thing about, you know, working with a team, you know, that's as large and as tenured as ours is, there's a wealth of knowledge here from the senior advisors that you can kind of tap into that and use that as a resource that that you can use to just be constantly growing, constantly evolving, and bettering yourself for clients. And you and I have spoken about kind of the progression that you can take in the wealth management industry from a client associate being more on the service and administrative side into a kind of a hybrid investments role, something similar to the seat that I fill, and then all the way up to a financial advisor and working directly with clients in an advisory capacity. So definitely think that the learning journey will continue for a long, long time for you, and super excited to see how that unfolds for you.
And you mentioned that path, right? Client associate and then filling kind of like a role like you have and then ultimately leading to a financial advisor. I think that's the route that I would like to take.
Yeah.
Or, you know, try to take. What do they say? You make plans and then God smiles, right?
He has other
stuff for us, right? That's going to be the, you know, the 10-year goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the 10-year goal. And then, you know, just maintain that loyalty to the company and then hope that the loyalty is reciprocated. And I have no doubt that it will be.
Sure.
Because it just seems like such a well-rounded team here.
Yeah.
Well, and it's so nice to hear that the team and the company have meant a lot to you. But I feel like we've also learned from you. I know I don't have a lot of military experience with dealing with military stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's been nice to know, like, hear from you and learn from you and really just see your habits too. Like, you're here on time every day. Like, there's certain things that, like, I don't know if you notice, but like, people are noticing those things. People notice like your hard work, you're always working, you're focused, you're asking for help. Those are very good qualities. So
thank you.
I think that just sets the bar high here for all of us too. So absolutely. I think we're all learning from you as well.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned Jason Price, and he and I have been in communication about really trying to develop and expand the SkillBridge program within UBS. So, you know, trying to find other candidates that possess those qualities like you do, that the attention to detail, the timeliness, the professionalism, you know, definitely military personnel are typically just a different caliber of candidate that we would love to interact with and bring to our firm as quality employees. So as we look to build upon the SkillBridge program going forward and expand our reach into the military community, you mentioned a little bit of advice already, but any other advice that you would give to other service members considering either the UBS SkillBridge program or just any SkillBridge program in general? And then are there any things you wish you had known or done differently before starting the program that maybe others can learn from in the future?
So a couple more things for those service members coming out, right? You're sitting in your TRS class. Well, that's what the Marine Corps calls it, whatever transition class at your branch calls it, right? You're sitting in there, come up with a plan, start budgeting now, start really preparing into your future and like take control of your finances, make sure you're not in debt. Just prepare yourself. And then if you want to do the SkillBridge program, take advantage of the program. Find something. There are so many opportunities on there all over the country. Find a place that you think looks appetizing to you, where you want to live, right? And take the jump. Don't be scared. Take the jump. But if you don't have a plan, if you don't have any sort of program that stands out to you, or you have no idea what you want to do, stay in, re-enlist. It's safe. You've already been through the hard stuff. You're getting a steady paycheck. It's one of the easier jobs you'll get as a Marine. They tell you what to wear, when to be where, right? They give you your allotted time for food, and then you're just supposed to show up and show out and do your job. Pretty straightforward. But if you're thinking about transitioning out, find a program, take the jump. And just let the wings spread and see where it falls, right? But yeah, definitely, if they don't have a plan, stay in. Some other stuff I wish I would have known, be a little bit more vocal and ask better questions to know how to frame your package before you send it up.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And maybe, too, it's something that we can be a little bit better on our side about, kind of working with the branches, working with the services to kind of streamline that process a little bit more.
We could
communicate the process from our side to kind of grease the skids, so to speak. But Matt, it's been a pleasure having you so far with the team. Super excited to have you for another 2 months. And thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. Your insights have been really invaluable.
And we're excited to see where your career goes.
Hopefully
we can be a small part of your future.
You're going to be a big part, and that makes two of us. And I just thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here and learn a new skill and being so receptive to all my questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Great. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.